That's right. We are right here, Sharp Facets Gallery. How you doing this afternoon? We've got Rhonda with us this afternoon, Rhonda Matthews. And I, of course, am here, Ann Eller. And we are looking for a good afternoon because Rhonda's going to be fixing crunchy asparagus on the air. Mm. So, how you doing today, Rhonda?
Doing fine. Thanks a million for having me to join you today. Looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. I always look forward to our time together, but you are so busy, it's hard to get you to stop long enough to come and be on the radio with us.
I do seem to have a full schedule, I'll say that. Clemson's getting their money's worth out of me, I can promise you that.
Well, I tell you what, I got to tell you, you look great. You've lost weight. You've been working on it, I guess.
Yeah, probably since the last time I visited with you in the studio, there's about 45 pounds less of me.
Yeah. Well, what's your secret?
Not really a secret. I decided that I wanted to try low carb, and that seemed to really work for me in particular. I wouldn't say that it would be something for everyone, but
I like the low carb. I've done that before.
It worked for me, and you know, of course, I, like everyone, hit a plateau, and then I tweaked it a little more and reduced my fat intake a little bit. So basically, the short version is, I don't eat a lot of flour. I don't eat hardly any flour products or sugar products.
Yeah,
all those highly processed foods are pretty much gone from my diet. And I exercise on a regular basis. Started out riding my old style, old school cruiser bike, and I wore it out literally until it was rusty. Then I bought what I call a real bicycle, and I ride several miles when weather permits. Our weather's nice to us, I know. So, and the other thing I do is I started running.
Running.
That's a very loose term now. It's more like shuffling quickly, but I
fast
make,
walking.
Yeah, I make my attempt at it though. There's a 5K coming up somewhere in Greenwood, not too far into the future, and that's my goal, is to get in there, and even if I'm the last one across the line, my goal is just do it. So that'll be one of my, I guess you'd say it's a bucket list. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
So, now, how did your family survive with you going on the carb diet, low carb diet?
They never missed a beat. all they knew was less rice, less potatoes showed up. We don't eat bread with dinner anymore, but otherwise,
They
no complaints. Yeah, there's no complaints. It does not mean that on Saturday they don't load up in the car and the two of those crazy dudes head out and, you know, scarf down some Skins hot dogs. But they enjoy the carb loaded foods to themselves, and they leave me alone. So,
well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have been so busy, and a couple of the things that you said you've been really involved with, ServSafe.
Yeah, gosh, I can't seem to teach enough of that lately. Well over a dozen classes taught in the last few months. June of last year, the state legislature passed a mandate that said any inspected food service kitchen, meaning the restaurant inspectors come in and give them a grade, an A, B, C, or so on, that those folks have a 2-year window of time to get a food safety manager certification. Well, I teach the classes that they need to get that credential. I don't have to tell you how many restaurants are in Greenwood, and I cover several counties, so that's what I meant when I said I'm burning the road up, and I'm out there teaching that left, right, and upside down. But it's a needed service. There's a direct link between knowledge of food safety, which is what they gain by going to that class, and lower incidences of foodborne illness. So I tip my hat to the state legislature for making a good move to keep all our food safe, and I tip my hat to those folks that come to the class and gain some new knowledge and get that credential. So better food for all of us in the end.
Sure. And, you know, that's actually so important, not only for the restaurants, but for your church groups and all these type of groups that are feeding people.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, I'm meeting, probably in about a week, I've got a group of other county agents that I work with. We're developing the church version because churches aren't inspected. There's no restaurant inspector to go in and check the potluck dinner. That's kind of a I'm not going to say a free-for-all, but it's totally unregulated. Maybe sure. That's the best way to say it. So, but still, those folks, huge questions coming in terms of how do we find out about, and you can fill in the blank with any food safety question, and we get it when it comes to those kind of things. So we developed that program, and it should be ready later this year. We're 95% through with that curriculum, and we'll be out there teaching a little more food safety to the folks in South Carolina. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
You know, if I remember correctly, you were just finishing, the last time you were on, you had worked, has it been a couple of years that you actually worked on doing that food safety program for the restaurants?
Yes, you know, as far as the one for the churches, that was one of those deals where we got a dab of grant money and we started working, and I was sure, good night, it won't take any more than 3 or 6 months to put this thing together. We all know this stuff well. I made a big old liar out of myself because it took us considerably longer. But what I have found in the meantime is not only more patience, but we've got a much better product now that all is said and done than we would have if we'd only put 3 to 6 months work into it. So it's going to be a humdinger once we finally get ready for it. And I look forward to sharing it with folks out there. So.
Sure. You know, I think it is so important. And, you know, we have on our radio station some of those PSAs that say things like, hey, I know how to marinate my food really, really good. I do like Grandma did. I leave it out on the counter overnight.
Yeah.
And you think about that and you go, oh, my God. But yeah. You were telling me what?
When I go out and teach, before I was telling you, it was any ServSafe class that I've taught typically in ServSafe, I've got food service employees, but even when I'm not teaching food service employees, anytime we talk about food safety, that very scenario of I thawed it out on the counter, I marinated it overnight on the counter, I put it in the sink, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, it's all the same science as far as room temperature and highly perishable foods. But I hear that at every single program. That is a widely held belief.
It's amazing more people haven't died or gotten really, really sick,
you know, the interesting thing is they may have gotten sick from it, but they just didn't associate that illness with their action. So they don't necessarily think that it was anything that they've done. They think, well, I got a stomach virus, you know, those handles of the shopping cart at the discount store, so germy, everybody's touched them. Well, yeah, that's true, but you know, leaving that chicken that you thawed out for 2 solid days laying in the sink probably didn't help either. So there's lots of contributing factors to folks getting a foodborne illness. And it's not a standalone to say it was somebody else's fault. Yeah, it is sometimes. And sometimes it's our fault. So,
sure. Yeah. And that's particularly, I think, with items that you bring home from a restaurant. You know, we have a tendency to leave those in the car while we shop or something and then take it in the house.
Absolutely. And, you know, the church food safety program that we're developing, we had to develop an entire chapter to that because, you know, if you've ever gone to those potlucks at church, or one of the good-hearted things that people do is we'll fix a plate for the shut-ins, and we'll take it by to them on the way home. Well, on the way home, sometimes it's several hours. I mean, you know, if it takes a while to get loaded up at church, and then you visit a little while in the parking lot, and then you drop by the drugstore, and then you pick up the kids after baseball practice, it really does linger in the back seat. And, wow, just such potential there for bacterial growth. So we encourage folks, do the right thing, take that plate to the shut-in, but get it to them fast.
Sure. So. Or pack it in a cooler with ice.
Cooler will save you a world of heartache. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are here with Rhonda Matthews. When we come back, we are going to be cooking right here on the table. She said, sure, we can do it. You know, we've done strawberry jam.
Did
some pickles one time. And this time we're going to do crunchy asparagus.
That's right. Coming into season, so it'll be plenty easy to find.
Well, it looks like some good asparagus right there. I guess I'm lucky again. So right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be back. We'll be cooking. Hope you stay right here with us.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're here with Rhonda Matthews. She is with the Clemson Extension Agency. She does so much good stuff. She stays so busy, and today she's come to agree to cook with us. Mm-hmm. So we are just thrilled, and you're going to do crunchy asparagus right here at the table.
I am, and this is an easy recipe, and the reason I like sharing this recipe this time of year is the local asparagus will soon be in season. So this is a good one if you've got your pencil ready. There's a whopping total of 4 ingredients in this, and they're in every grocery store, and probably 3 of the 4 are in your refrigerator right now. So this makes a very tasty dish, and rarely any leftovers. So what we're going to do first is, and you'll notice, and the bottom of these asparagus stalks are wrapped in a moist paper towel. The interesting thing about asparagus is it keeps on growing after it's been harvested.
For real?
As long as it's got some water around the stalk.
So I never knew that.
It will stay fresh. And if you think about it, in the grocery store, that's how you see it. The stalks are standing up in bundles.
Right.
In water. Well, the reason is it will continue to grow, expect maybe even like an inch of growth after
in the grocery store.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
So, you can do the same thing at home if you've got the asparagus plants at the house.
This is some great looking asparagus. Where did this come from?
I bought this here in Greenwood.
Wow.
And easy peasy. You can find it too.
I love those words. She always uses easy peasy.
Yeah. Try not to be overwhelmed by all that technical mumbo jumbo. But what we're doing is we have rinsed this asparagus to get rid of any grit. The way asparagus grows is the fern is lively and robust, but these stalks grow straight up out of the dirt. So, and they grow in very sandy soil. So you're very likely to find some grit in and around the stalks, especially near the tip. So
that's why you need to wash it, right?
Wash it well. Absolutely. Otherwise, you'll be biting into little bits of sand, and that's not appealing to anyone. We snap off that woody end. You'll never be able to, and where it snaps naturally is the right place to get rid of everything below the snap. Keep the part near the tip. You'll never be able to cook that bottom part enough or chew it enough for it to be palatable.
It's more than crunchy.
It's wow, it's like tree bark is all I can tell you. It just won't do the job for you. So now we've got our asparagus in some boiling water. We'll give it just a minute or so, and while it's doing its thing, and I mean literally like a minute or so, while it's doing its thing there, we're going to put together the marinade. So the first thing we'll add in is some soy sauce. We'll need about a tablespoon and a half. Oops, splish splash. There we go. So there's what we need.
I love these cooking demonstrations, you know, and there'll be a video of this afterwards, folks, so you'll be able to see it.
The other thing we're going to add is a couple of teaspoons of sesame oil. Sesame oil, I need to warn folks that are not familiar with it, more is not better. That stuff is potent. A little goes a long way, but wow, the flavor it gives is incredible. So we're also going to add about a teaspoon of sugar.
I like your measuring system here.
Yeah, well, see, now I really do have measuring spoons, but sadly they're at the house.
Yes.
So today we're going to make do with what we've got. So all we're doing now is we're mixing together the 1 teaspoon of sugar the 4 teaspoons of soy sauce, the 2 teaspoons of sesame oil, and that's it.
That's
so
it?
So we've got our sweet, our nutty, and our salty all there together. Now what we're going to do is we will pull our asparagus from the water.
She's pulling it from the water.
Drop it straight into some waiting ice water. Now what happens here is...
It's like you're blanching it or something. Is that what that's called?
Very much. It's a blanch, and then you drop it in the ice water to immediately stop that cooking.
So it's not going to cook anymore. Now,
no.
This is bright green.
It is.
Beautiful.
And the nice thing about putting it into that ice is it sets the color. It's the final dish is going to be that wonderful bright green color. So we're just going to give that a quick stir. Make sure it cools down, and you can see it turning loose of the heat. It's just steaming good. There we go.
The ice is melting.
Yeah. We're melting it on down. So all we'll do now is we'll take that out of the ice, over to the marinade, and then it's just a matter of coating, and it's ready to go to the table. You can eat it right now. If you give it a couple of hours, the flavor really does ramp up.
If you can wait that long.
I don't know if Ann can smell it, but right here where I am, that nuttiness of the sesame oil is just really... It wafts through the air. What can I tell you? It's really a very, very tasty dish. So that's it. That's ready to go to the table. How long did that take? 5 minutes maybe from beginning to end. So I always tell folks, cooking good food does not require hours and hours and hours in the kitchen. So this is ready to go to the table. You can store leftovers, if there are any, in the refrigerator, and they'll hold. But word of warning, you probably don't want to give it any more than 24 hours in the fridge, because that sesame oil gets pretty strong. And like I said, if you're only using a pound and a half of asparagus, a family of 3 or 4 can eat that easily at one sitting. And if there's any stalks left over, they'll snack on that and it'll be gone before morning. So that's it from beginning to end. I always encourage folks, enjoy those local South Carolina products while they are in season. You'll never find them fresher. You'll never find them at a better price than when they're grown close to home and they just got harvested. So enjoy that asparagus. It's coming up soon.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I have to try one of these.
Get in
Rhonda.
There. Yeah.
It's good, Rhonda.
That's
good. Yes, it's delicious.
It's a tasty one. I've given this recipe out. Gosh, we've done this now on the radio, but we've also done it on TV. We've done it in person, and I never have I had anyone say that is not for me. It really is a good one.
You know, the thing about it is that I like about it is a little crunch. You know, so many times people, I think, overcook asparagus and it's actually mushy.
That's right. And if folks are tempted to equate fresh asparagus with canned asparagus, stop that silliness right now.
Exactly.
Because
no comparison.
Not even the same thing. In a can, makes a great casserole, makes a great cream soup, but this ain't that.
Now, so. can you take, you can't really can this, can you?
You could, but don't expect the texture to be the same. It just cannot, the cell structure in this vegetable just can't hold up to that. So now you can blanch it and freeze it and get a pretty good deal there. But, you know, fresh asparagus, there's just really not anything else like it. That's why I tell everybody, enjoy it while you got it. And, you know, for years and years in the early part of the 1900s, this area, Edgefield, Ridge Spring, on up through the bottom end of Lexington County, we were some of the nation's leaders in asparagus production. Can you imagine South Carolina growing that much asparagus?
Is it because of the iodine?
I don't know. But the interesting thing is those plants live, you know, I said they live for years and years once you grow them. Farmers will still find in their pasture land those asparagus plants cropping up. They've lived all these years and they're still hanging out. So What's good, always good. Yeah,
it's interesting. When I was growing up in Connecticut, we had an asparagus patch, and it was always interesting to see it poking its head up through and pulling it. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. And you know, once I came down here, and I didn't see as much fresh asparagus.
Yes. Yep.
But there certainly is now.
Still got some big farms that grow it, and you can go to the packing shed and buy it straight off the farm over in not far from here, Mineta. Ridge Spring over along through there. You can find it still growing.
Well, that's terrific. Hey, we are here with Rhonda Matthews. Let's see. I think I will. Rhonda, I'm so glad we're going to a break right now because I'm going to help myself. Hey, you stay right with us. I wish we had Smell-O-Vision going on here or Smell-O-Radio. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos. So I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we back on the radio? Everybody has been back here enjoying a little asparagus. Lindsay, I'm sorry you're missing out on this. This is awesome here. All you needed to make that, let's just run through the recipe one more time, Rhonda.
Sure. A pound to 2 pounds of fresh asparagus, a couple of teaspoons of sesame oil. Look for sesame oil in the Asian food section of the grocery store. It is really in every grocery store. I've never missed it. It's always there. 4 teaspoons of soy sauce and a teaspoon of sugar. Mix that marinade of the oil, the soy, and the sugar together and blanch your asparagus spears for about a minute, then shock them in some ice to stop that cooking and set the color. Then over into the marinade, stir to coat. The longer they sit in that marinade, the more pronounced that flavor becomes. Of course, that's inherent of any marination. As we found out here in the studio, it doesn't hang around too long. This is a really good one. That sweet, nutty, salty flavor is just really, it marries well with that asparagus. And it is crunchy. You don't cook it all the way through. It's got a little bit of snap to it when you bite into it. So, yeah, very tasty.
And it's just such a beautiful green color.
Very bright.
It is, yes. Right, and then you've got it on a blue plate here that it just looks so spectacular. Ree, you could go ahead and post a picture that we took and put it on Facebook for those that are on Facebook to see what we're talking about. But I guess, you know, that's not the show, though. We've got more to talk about.
You know, Ann, one day I should come and we should just cook the whole segment. We can cook and eat. It'll be girls' day.
That's right. Oh, and there'll happen to be a few 100,000 people listening. Okay. Okay, well, that's okay. Then they'll be coming by with their forks and sitting right here. Come on, let's have a cooking demonstration.
That's okay. We can do it.
That'll be fun. We talked about Serve Safe.
We did, teaching lots and lots of that. Those folks that are in the restaurant business need that certification by June 2016, and I teach the Serve Safe class, and they're filling up. I get plenty of folks coming out wanting that class, so we can get you squared away if you need that Serve Safe credential.
Now, how should people get a hold of you, Rhonda?
Well, the easiest way is to email me at Rhonda. I have the world's easiest email, Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, at clemson.edu.
Wow.
So if you want to email me, that goes to all possible devices that I can lay my hands on. If you want to call me, the Greenwood extension phone number is 223-3264. And like lots of businesses and agencies, we've got that automatic voice robot lady who answers our telephone. You don't have to listen to her. Hit 0. She'll take you, and that'll shoot you over to our live human being that will answer the telephone. So 3264 and extension 0 will get you into the live people at the extension office. Tell them you're looking for Rhonda, and they'll track me down wherever I happen to be.
Well, you know, and that will be a feat unto itself.
No, those admins, I have to, wow, they're really sharp. They, whenever the calls come in, they shoot me an email, and it comes through to a cell phone or wherever I'm working, and I answer the phone and or get back with folks as absolutely quickly as I can. I always tell my classes that I teach, the only reason I don't return your call instantly is because I'm standing in front of a class or on the radio.
Yeah.
And but as soon as I can get to the place to call you, I will. So I do call folks back.
You know, Clemson Extension, I mean, as far as a service, is a huge service. I think sometimes we don't even realize all the things that the Clemson Extension Service does.
It is big. You're right. And sometimes folks are very familiar with one part of it, and they make the terrible mistake of believing that's all we do. But we are in existence because our land-grant charter says that we are obligated to help people who are producing or consuming food and fiber. And if you stop and think about that, that includes growing of any description. So whether it's a crop or whether it's a field or whether it's an animal or whether it's a tree,
mm-hmm.
we're there to help those folks. Or if you're consuming that, we're there to help you. So there's lots of information and there's lots of classes and hands-on programs as well that we conduct for the good of South Carolina. So.
Now, where do they go to find out information about what Clemson Extension does?
The easiest thing is either to call us at the local extension office and say what you got going on, or you can check out our homepage here for Greenwood, would be clemson.edu/Greenwood. We have an office in every single county of the state of South Carolina, and our job is to put the information about food and fiber out there for the people. So come get us. We're ready to go. We're glad to teach. We're glad to share. And that's our charge. That's why we have a position with Clemson, is to get the information out to the public.
Now, do all states have extension offices?
They do. There's a land-grant university in every single state in the United States, and they have agents that work for those land grants that either have one county that they're responsible for or they cover a region. That's what I do. I cover a region. So you've got agents all over the United States.
Yeah. Well, it's really an important service. You know, this is the time of the year where a lot of people are getting ready to garden.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Are they
finally
ever?
We're getting ready to garden.
Wow. If this rain, good night. Who would have ever thought that we would complain about the rain? But we're about to float away at this point. But, yes, we're warming up now. And so our offices are seeing folks come in for soil samples, and that's one of the things that we're very well known for, is folks wanting to do a soil sample. So we have the soil sample bags for when folks come in and they want their soil analyzed. It may be soil from their pasture, soil from their garden, soil from their lawn, soil from their orchard, you name it. We can analyze that soil, and based on what you're growing or what you want to grow, our lab can make recommendations on how much fertilizer, and specifically which nutrients do you need, and do you need any lime? And they'll tell you, based on square footage or on acreage, how much to go out and have applied to your property. And that may sound like, well, big whoop to plenty of folks, but I'll let you know, if you haven't bought fertilizer lately or if you haven't bought lime lately, that's a $6 investment in a soil sample. It pays for itself many times over, because if applying too much is just money down the drain. Get the soil sample, know what you need, and buy that much and have it applied.
Well, and so many people think, you know, they have it done once, right?
That's right.
And, you know, you apply it, and then every year you apply the same amount. You may not be doing yourself a service here.
Absolutely not. It is very easy to get too high a nutrient load by over-fertilizing. More is not better when it comes to that. And you can very easily do damage where you didn't intend to do damage in terms of your crop or your grass. So find out exactly what you need and apply that much. And you can't, I'd love to tell folks, well, you can look at it, if it's not nice dark brown soil, it's good and rich. That is not true. You cannot look at soil and say, this is good soil, it will grow anything. Just not true.
We have so much red clay in this area, too.
Ain't that the truth. But, and it takes a good bit of lime to remedy that. Get the sample, find out what your soil needs. You know, if you want to grow blueberries, you apply a certain amount. If you want to grow strawberries, it's another. So, and if you want to grow centipede lawn, it's yet another. So, we can help you with that.
Just a little Miracle-Grow on there isn't always the answer.
Yeah. Well, it'll do great for your begonias, but not so much for the front yard.
Okay. So. Yeah. All right. Well, how do people go about doing this?
I'd love to tell you. You go to random areas in the plot of land that you want an analysis on, and you collect, we call it a plug, but basically a scoop full, put it in like a plastic bucket, and make sure in that area that you want analyzed, you go to probably 6, 7, 8 different locations, get a scoop, mix all that dirt together so that you have a truly randomized sampling of that location. And then bring us at least a pint of that dirt that you've mixed up together. And we'll be able to bag it up, and we'll probably ask you 5 or 6 questions, fill the form out, and our courier takes it on up to our lab at the university. And in a couple of weeks, or maybe even sooner, you'll get your analysis back.
Wow. So, and this costs $6.
It does.
Yeah, that's pretty darn reasonable.
Well, like I said, you'll waste more money in that and buying excess fertilizer that you might not need. So get the soil sample.
Now, do you have to take it? You have to take it to the extension office.
Yep.
Here?
Drop it off for us at the extension office, and we'll send it out through our courier.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So, do they have students that do this up there at Clemson, or no?
You mean in the lab?
In the lab, yeah.
No, we have soil scientists. Yes,
soil scientists.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Absolutely.
How about that? That's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
That's not the only thing that we run analysis on. We'll also do feed and forage. We'll do weed ID. We'll do bug ID. You name it. Just all kinds of things. Irrigation water. We test all kinds of things. We've got labs that'll run plenty of analysis for you to find out the information you need. We have folks that'll fertilize with things that are either organic or sludge waste, you name it. We can run analysis on all kinds of things.
Wow.
So
very cool. All right. Well, we are here with Rhonda Matthews. She is with the Clemson Extension. If you want to give us a call, we have got one more segment to go. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Clemson Extension Service. It is a wonderful thing to know. And just when you don't know where to go, or you go to your local store and you just go, so what do you think I need? Don't waste that valuable dollars that you have. Find out what you need and then take it to the store and
let
them help
you.
That's
right. And we can help you if you're wondering, what's in season? What do I plant? We've got the info. Just give us a buzz.
All right. So we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with the one and only Rhonda Matthews. I feel so fortunate that you were able to come by and see us this afternoon, and we cooked on the radio again. People that don't know me from across this country, when I say, yeah, we do cooking demonstrations on the radio, they're like, what? But it works, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. I mean, you can, I told someone yesterday, it's a talking recipe, which means you do it and you describe every move you make all the way through it. And as long as folks go away understanding what the finished product should be and what the ingredients are, you've done your job. So, and that's the nice thing about what we did today. this asparagus recipe has minimal ingredients. It turns out quickly, and it's not hard to understand what to do. Wash it, blanch it, shock it with some ice, mix that marinade together, and you're ready to eat.
That's right. So this is a good one, crunchy asparagus. So we'll be posting that, of course, on the website here, and you'll be able to see the video. But I hope you got the idea from the radio. But Rhonda, we got a coyote problem.
Well, you know, we've been working, DNR and Clemson Extension have partnered together. They've run several coyote control workshops across the state. What we're seeing is coyotes are becoming more and more prevalent, and trapping them and controlling them is becoming more of a challenge. So they put these workshops together so that folks can understand what are the legal ways to deal with coyotes if you've got a problem with them. And you were just saying you saw a coyote over near Lander not too long ago. It had been squashed in the road. And when you start seeing animals, you know, that should typically you would see out in the agricultural areas, and you're seeing them in the middle of town, that should tell you about the numbers that are out there. So coyotes can do a good bit of damage. They're a headache to farmers or anyone that has any amount of property. They like to eat small stock, so poultry, baby goats, sheep, baby calves, a birthing calf that's in labor that goes off to herself is fairly vulnerable to coyotes. So farmers are really interested in getting a handle on the workshops. So we had a great turnout in Abbeville last night, well over 50 people there wanting to find out the right way and the legal way to do right by their land and their animals and their property. So we salute those folks that are helping us in DNR, and we certainly thank those folks for coming out and attending the program so that they can learn the right way to handle things. We're looking to probably, we've got a waiting list at this point, so we're looking to probably put another coyote control workshop in the immediate area, probably Greenwood or one of the surrounding areas in the near future.
Well, that shows that it's pretty prevalent.
It is. They're out there, and you'll see them, or you'll hear them, one or the other. They start getting active when we start sitting down and getting quiet. So at the end of the day, when twilight starts creeping around, is when the coyotes start cranking up.
I saw one in the middle of the afternoon over there at WCRS.
Yeah, and I don't really have an explanation for that. It's not unheard of for them to be out and about in the middle of the day. But,
well, the deer were also out at that time.
Well, there you go. Yeah. They like to eat a baby deer. But the other thing that I had shared with you before was they are prone to any disease that your dog would get. So rabies, mange, worms, fleas, ticks, they're prone to that. So a diseased one is not unheard of. He may have been confused because he was sick and he was out at the wrong time of day.
Maybe. But I tell you what, you know, how about feral pigs?
Holy cow. Oh, my goodness.
Have they got anything going on about them?
Yeah, we've run workshops on those as well. Again, anybody with any amount of land, and sometimes folks that are just regular old homeowners, they're just out, you know, in the more rural areas. When the hogs come through your yard or through your property, you know it. And you may have seen it and didn't realize what it was. They root through, and I mean what I say, think of a pig stomping the ground and nosing through it, and they're rooting through that property looking for something to eat, and when they get through and they're gone, it looks like you have taken a rototiller and plowed it up like you would plow for a garden. They absolutely decimate agricultural property.
Wow.
They'll do damage, and there are so many of them, and they are reproducing at an alarming rate, just incredible. So we, just like coyotes, we run those workshops to help folks understand legally what can I do to protect my land and keep my land in good shape, protect my animals, keep them in good shape. So, you know, if you lose your hay field, you're not going to have a whole lot to feed your cattle that season. So we like to put the information out there so the farmers and the public can come get it and take care of their property.
Okay. Now, where is the Clemson Extension office right here in Greenwood?
In Greenwood, probably everybody that's listening knows where it is. If you've lived in Greenwood long, we are in the old Brewer High School.
Yep.
We are on the Cambridge Avenue, halfway between Jerry's Produce and National Healthcare.
Yeah.
So if you can find the old Brewer High School, you can find us. We're the closest ones to the highway. Just pull on in our parking lot and come on in.
That's right. So one more thing that we wanted to cover before we have to give this up here this afternoon. How is the 4-H program doing?
Wow. You know, I'm based really, I cover a region, but where I sit down at a desk more often than not is up in Abbeville, and I can speak on behalf of them. They are busting at the seams. They're really doing good. 4-H has been around for a long time. It is very familiar to a lot of people. Every time I go and talk with groups, I can say, who was in 4-H? And I see hands shoot up all the way across the room. They've all got their own 4-H story. And the next question I can say is, what was your 4-H project? And they can all just roll it off their tongue. And if they went on a trip or won a ribbon or a belt buckle, they're ready to tell the story. And the folks that have gone to Camp Long down in Aiken, it once upon a time, everybody that was in school went down there, it seemed like. And just wonderful stories associated with 4-H. So it's up and running, and it's strong, and it's open to every kid. 5 through 19, we got something for you. Come on. And it's not just cows and pigs. We've got all kinds of things to do in 4-H. So lots of fun, lots of learning. Just a great time for those kids. Really a leadership builder, really a confidence builder, really a knowledge builder. Just a great, great program.
And stuff they'll use for the rest of their life.
Oh, what you talking about? We have folks that just, they can't sing the praises of 4-H enough because, well, just taking animals for an example, kids that are in those animal projects learn really quickly that they are responsible, them and them alone, are responsible for another living creature. And there's a lot of responsibility that goes along with taking care of another living creature. Now, moms know that really well. But, you know, a 9- or a 10-year-old, that's almost a foreign concept to them. But you give them a cow, or you give them a pig, or you give them a bunny. We've got a lot of kids in the bunnies. They learn real quick. This thing's got to drink. It's got to eat. It's got to be cleaned up after. It's got to be looked at and attention paid to it. So it's really a world opener. I don't even want to say an eye opener. It opens them up to a new world.
That's great. So over there in Abbeville, you have a huge program there. Now, the gal that runs that, I've met her. She's been on the show. She is just an energizer bunny.
She is. And I can't speak highly enough. Her name is Jenny Mountford.
There you go.
And she is just, we hired Jenny, I'm not even sure now. It seems like she's been with me forever, but I know that's not true. 5 or 6 years ago, and she hit the ground running, and things have just been going great guns over there since she come in the door.
Sure. Yeah,
good stuff.
So 4-H is a lot more than just raising cattle and pigs and that type of thing.
They're doing
a lot. And, of course, we'll be coming up on people getting stuff in, and then I guess you'll be putting your attention on showing people how to can stuff.
Yes, when gardening season gets here, every single day, every day, multiple phone calls, multiple emails, you name it, multiple Facebook posts, they all need to know. How do I put up green beans? How do I put up tomatoes? How do I make strawberry jam? How do I do my pickles? It's unending. So, and that's great. We love knowing that folks are growing and eating food from their property. So.
That's right. Hey, you're listening to WCRS right here. We will be posting the video and, of course, the audio. Crunchy asparagus is what we made here today. And Rhonda, I sure appreciate you coming out. We don't get to sit down very often, but it's always so much fun when we do.
Ain't it, though? Yeah. I always have a good time when I come here, and we cover a lot of great information. So thanks for having me. Look forward to the next time.
Absolutely. Rhonda Matthews, what's that best way to reach you?
Greenwood Extension, 223-3264, extension 0, or email me at Rhonda, at clemson.edu.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.